Hey, good afternoon, church. Great to be with all y'all again. My name is Robin, and my wife Laura and I serve as lead pastors at Lyft. And we are just so glad to be back in God's Word on a Sunday afternoon. What a joy it is to be together. And want to encourage you, for those of you that missed Leaders Assembly this past week on Thursday, to give it a watch. I was talking about passionate, purposeful presence, passionate, purposeful presence, and what that means for us as a church family. So give it a read or a watch, and I hope that that encourages you. But today we are in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 10. And we're going to continue on this sort of journey we've been on. We call it Peter Pan and the Gospel, and how the gospel calls us to grow up, to take responsibility, to not live in never, never land, but to embrace the call to take responsibility for ourselves and others, and why that is an extension of the gospel. Today, I want to really launch into a continuation of a conversation or a sermon that I taught 2 weeks ago, talking about bold, vibrant faith. Bold, vibrant faith. If you're with me, and you're feeling vibrant today, let's just say that word vibrant together. Vibrant, because it's a good word, and we're called to bold, vibrant faith. And if you missed it, you can obviously go back and check that one out. It's also why it's good to be in church every Sunday, because we're actually having a conversation, and you're not. It's hard to be part of a conversation if you're only catching one out of every three or four things that are said. So, that said, when we talk about having a bold, vibrant faith, there's a bit of a challenge with that, which is that bold, vibrant faith at some point is going to require obedience. It's going to require that we step out of our comfort zone, we step out of the way things are, and we have faith to step into something that we can't yet fully see, something new. Bold, vibrant faith requires us to be obedient, to step out of the known, the visible, the familiar, the comfortable, into the place of being led by faith. Or another way of saying it is a place where we are faithful implies that we are full of faith. I was thinking about this question of, okay, how does obedience and the call to be spiritually mature and obedient flow as an extension of our faith? And there really, as I was praying about this, immediately the passage in Hebrews chapter 11 came to mind. But specifically, the passage where it talks about Abraham. Now, if you're not familiar with Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11 is often referred to as like the hall of faith. And it's this passage where the author of Hebrews outlines all these characters out of the Old Testament, that's the part of the Bible before Jesus, and talks about how they were full of faith, but they didn't actually receive what they had faith for. They were full of faith, but they died before it was fully fulfilled. And how Jesus ultimately is the one that is, the fulfillment of much of their faith. And one of the characters that's really important in that hall of faith is Abraham. Now, Abraham is the father of the nation of Israel through his children, his son Isaac, and Isaac's son Jacob. Jacob gets renamed Israel. Israel becomes the nation of Israel with Isaac's 12 sons making up the 12 tribes of Israel. We just read all about that in Daily Devos. And you can read the story of Abram, who later becomes Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12. You can flip there another time, give it a read. It's a fascinating journey. We covered it in Daily Devos, I think last year sometime. But I want to read specifically the part in Hebrews 11 where it's talking about Abraham's faith. And the specific part of the story it's referring to is how Abraham felt a call of God to leave where he was, uproot his family when he was like 75 years old, and move to a new place. And how it was rooted in a belief that God was going to give him children, and that there would be ultimately a blessing that would come out of that obedience to God. And so I want to read the way the author of Hebrews characterizes Abraham's faith. He says this starting in verse 8 of Hebrews 11. He says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed." Everybody say obeyed. "And set out for a place where he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out, even though he did not know where he was going. by faith, what do you say, by faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. There's four things I want to draw out of Abraham's bold faith here. First here, it says that Abraham, by faith, Abraham, when he was called. So if we have a bold, vibrant faith, that means that we need to be a people that understand that we have a calling. That's part of what bold, vibrant faith means. It means that we have the sense that we live with a greater call, a greater awareness that God is desiring to do something with our lives for his purposes and his glory. But in order to actually see that become a reality, we need to be listening. We need to be listening. It's hard to be obedient to a call of God on our lives that comes from a bold, vibrant faith if we are not listening to what God is saying to us. We need the faith to believe, not just that we have a call, but the faith to believe that God speaks to us. This is one of the most beautiful parts about being a follower of Jesus. That we, as followers of Jesus, have access to, by the Spirit of God, a relationship with God where he can speak to us, he can call us. When it says that Abraham was called by God, it implies that it means that God was speaking to Abraham and that Abraham was listening to God. So we as a people, if we're going to live with bold, vibrant faith that becomes an obedient faith, we have to be people that listen, that are making and creating space and time to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Now, here's the thing with listening. If we are listening, it's not enough just to say like, yeah, I'm listening, God, I'm listening, and then not actually listen. Part of listening to someone is that we need to be listening to what they say before we've decided whether or not we like what they're saying. Have you ever been in a, what I mean by that, you're like, oh, that doesn't make any sense. What I mean by that is, have you ever been in a conversation with someone where you're not really listening to them? You've already assumed what they're going to say, and then you start speaking or preparing a response before they've even said what they're going to say? Part of being obedient with a bold, vibrant faith means that we need to listen openly to what the Holy Spirit is saying. So often we struggle to hear what the Lord is saying, not because the Lord is not speaking, but because we have not opened ourselves up to what he might be saying. One of my favorite authors, Leslie Newbigin, has this concept that he calls plausibility structures. A plausibility structure is a worldview or a set of assumptions about what is possible. Now, as Christians, our plausibility structure broadly means that it is plausible for us that supernatural things can happen because there's a God that is supernatural. So our worldview assumes that supernatural things happen. But plausibility structures also influence our ability to hear what God is saying. If our plausibility structure of what God might be saying to us excludes what God is actually saying, we're going to have a hard time hearing what God is saying. Last year, Alex, Dan, and I, we wrote a book called Spiritual Discernment, Hearing and Acting on God's Voice. It looks like this. It's just like a little tiny book drawn out of a teaching series. It's like 50 pages with some workbooks in it. And we talk about the ingredients of discerning what God is saying. And in the first ingredient, we talk about this principle of surrender. In order to hear what God is calling us to, we first need to surrender our lives before God, so that we're actually open to what God is saying. As I said, so much of our inability to hear God's voice is not that he's not speaking, it's that we're not willing to listen to what he's saying. So I'd encourage you, you can grab a copy of these. We have lots at the Rubik's. If you want one, ask your Skirt or your Simple Church leader. I think this is a great resource. It'd be great to get it into everyone's hands. We got them on Amazon for like $3 or something. It's like the cheapest price we can set it to on Amazon just because we want to get it into your hands. So check it out. Pretty cool resource. So let's talk about plausibility structures. Like, some of us might say, the Lord would never call me to plant a church. Well, how do you know? How do you know that? The Lord would never use me to lead someone to Jesus. How do you know? The Lord would never ask me to move cities, to take the gospel to a new place. How do you know? The Lord would never accomplish a great thing through my life. How do you know? Too often, the possibilities of what we think God might be calling us to are informed by our upbringing, our experiences, the narratives inside our head, our families of origin, even the media. Perhaps what our friends have done, perhaps what we think life should be like. One of the defining characteristics of Abraham here is that it says by faith when he was called, Abraham obeyed. Abraham was willing to listen to the Lord even when it was outside of his paradigm. When he was called, he obeyed. Later, the Lord gives him instruction regarding his son that was totally outside of his comfort zone. It would have been outside of his plausibility structures, and yet again, Abraham was listening because he was surrendered to the Lord. I want to encourage you, when we talk about calling, when we talk about obedience, don't limit what you think God could do with you. Most of our skirts, I don't think, saw themselves as church planters, and yet they've all planted churches. How is that possible? Well, it's not possible because they figured it out and had a great plan. It's possible because they were a people that were surrendered. Maybe you're like, I could never lead a simple church. How do you know? I could never have an open home. Surrender means that we lay down what we think is possible, what we think God can do, and we begin to walk out in faith what God is calling us to do. What the Lord is calling us to do and what we think is possible are often very separate conversations. And that's why it's so important that we surround ourselves with people that inspire us to have greater faith, that don't speak to the limits of our capacity, but it's important we surround ourselves with people that speak to the potential of the call of God on our lives. And all of you have a call. All of you have a call to make disciples. All of you have a call to honor God. All of you have a call to relationship with Jesus. All of you have a call to a sacrificial life that puts others ahead of yourselves. All of you have a call to love people. All of you have a call to hospitality. All of you have a call and an invitation to evangelize and so forth and so on and so on. And we need people in our lives that inspire us towards these things. Listen to the people who build your faith and encourage you to surrender to God, not based on what you think is possible, but to live by faith. That's that first component, that obedience starts with listening. The second part of obedience is that at some point, obedience requires that we take a leap, that we actually do what we feel the Lord is asking us to do. I love this. It says here that he, Abraham, went out even though he did not know where he was going. Abraham sets out on this journey even though he didn't know where he was going. He didn't have all the details. Now, all the type A planners that are like organized and they're scheduled out and you know what you're going to be wearing in 33 years and what the weather is going to be, you just haven't shared it with anybody yet. That demographic is highly uncomfortable with this idea very often. Wait, you want me to live a life where I don't have a plan? Where there's no plan? No. It says here that Abraham, he went out even though he didn't know where he was going. It doesn't mean there wasn't a plan. It doesn't mean that God didn't have a plan. It meant that Abraham was walking by faith, trusting that the Lord's plan was better than his plan. This is the essence of faith. This is not a minor issue. We as followers of Jesus are called to trust the character of Jesus in leading us. Our faith is not in our ability to see the future. Our faith is in the character of God as he leads us to take our next step. Just our next step. The Lord is asking us not to trust him. He's asking us to trust him with the journey, but he doesn't usually reveal the full plan to us. He doesn't usually reveal the challenges that are going to be on the way. I think part of this is because most of us don't have enough faith. I certainly don't, to anticipate the whole journey. But that's not what the Lord asks. He calls us and then he asks us to take just the next step. Just the next step. To have just enough faith to take just the next step that is in front of us. So he went out even though he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know the full plan. He didn't know the whole journey, but he took his next step. I want to encourage you, if you feel that the Lord has put something on your heart, a call on your heart, maybe it's to launch an initiative, to apprentice lead a simple church, to step out and lead your own simple church, to invite that friend to come to simple church or come to church or whatever it is. It could be anything. Start a business. It could be anything. I want to encourage you to not wait until you have the entire plan sorted out, until you're confident. That's not faith. That's called being a control freak. No, we are called to have just enough faith to take the next step. If the Lord is calling you, he is almost certain not to give you the whole picture beforehand. This has been the story in my life. Every single time I've taken a step of faith, I haven't known the whole journey. That's why it's called faith. You might be asking, well, what if I'm wrong? What if I've got the calling wrong? What if I've listened poorly? What if I don't know? Well, in the book Spiritual Discernment, we talk through other processes to discern that well. We talk about scripture and community and discerning the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's all important, but I think on a bigger picture, it's also important that we understand that I really believe that the character of God is such that if we trust him, if we genuinely have yielded to him and genuinely are walking on in faith, and only you really know how genuine that is. You know, we talk the talk as Christians. I prayed about it when we didn't really pray about it. I surrendered it when we didn't really surrender it. We do that all the time. We couch things in spiritual terms. But the Lord sees through all that smoke and mirrors. He knows whether or not we really have. And I believe if we have truly surrendered, the Lord will honor that. We don't need to worry about if things go wrong. The Lord honors those who are genuine in their obedience and their love of him. Sometimes I think we think the Lord is really concerned with like what we do. But the scriptures make it really clear that he's not really that concerned with whether we go left or right. What he's concerned about is, do we trust him? He's concerned about the posture of our hearts, the condition of what's deep within us. Is it yielded to? Is it deferential to his leading and his, and is it rooted in a trust of his character? And so we can interrupt the what-if negative thought cycle that says, well, here's all the ways that this can go wrong. And we can say, no, Lord, I surrender to you. And so I can take the next step. I can have just enough faith to take the next step without worrying about all the ways that it can go wrong because I've yielded to you. Now, look what happened. So Abraham, he sets out. He's got just enough faith to start the journey. He doesn't know where he's going. It says this, by faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise. So he lands up in this land and he is a what? He's a foreigner. So obedience starts with listening. Obedience then is followed up by taking the leap, taking our next step. But then obedience requires that we remain faithful in a foreign land. that we remain faithful in a foreign land. It says here, by faith, he stayed. You see, he stayed in the land of promise as a foreigner. He didn't experience great blessing in terms of it didn't work out exactly the way he expected, certainly not at first. In fact, for many, many, many years, Abraham stayed as a foreigner. Often when we take a step of faith, this is the experience. We are uncomfortable, we're like wrestling. We take that big, bold, vibrant faith, step of faith. We take the leap. We feel really good for like 2 days or 2 minutes or 2 weeks or whatever it is. And then we end up in foreign territory. And then the enemy is like, see, you're just a foreigner here. See what a mistake you made? And the next thing you know, we're going like, what have I done? What have I done? I can't lead. I can't care for people. I can't take responsibility for this. I've made a big mess. What have I done? And then the negative thought cycle goes to all the ways that our life is about to implode. Here's the thing. A step of faith in obedience is almost always going to be followed by a dark night of the soul. That moment where we are convinced that everything is going terrible. Every step of faith in my life, every major one that I look back on, those moments over the years as I follow Jesus, for me, it's involved many, many, many moments where I felt a clear call of been obedient. There's probably also many moments where I haven't been obedient. But I look back on the moments where I have been obedient, and it's always been followed by a sense of I'm in a foreign land and I am really uncomfortable. What have I done? It's interesting over the years, baptizing lots of people and seeing lots of people be baptized in our church, almost without exception, people who are baptized within a week or two of being baptized come under intense spiritual attack. Baptism is an act of obedience where we take a leap, we express our faith publicly. And if you haven't done that, I would encourage you to do it as soon as possible. Talk to your Simple Church leader or Scourge. We express, we take the leap, and we have this huge spiritual high. And then 2 weeks later, the enemy sees, see, nothing changed. See, you're still a work in progress. See, Jesus doesn't really care. See your community that told you they love you? Yeah, I don't really see you. And the lies start to whisper. This is the way faith often works, is that we find ourselves in foreign land, in a new place. And it's hard. It's uncertain. It doesn't work out the way we expected. And so what do? Well, very simply, we stay. It says here that Abraham stayed. And he would stay for many, many years. He would also end up going down to Egypt at one point, but he would stay. Faith is not an impetuous journey where we jump from thing to thing to thing. If the Lord called you, and you believe that he called you, you worked it out, the Lord is not going to change his mind. The number of times I've seen people, and as they try to discern God's calling, is that they jump into something, sensing God's calling, and then like 6 minutes or 6 weeks or 6 months later, they're convinced that God's changed his mind. I'm pretty sure the sovereign God of the universe, who is outside of time and measures time in like in eons, isn't going to change his mind in 6 minutes, 6 months, or even 6 years, just because things are hard for us. The test of our faith is, can we remain faithful to the call when we are in the valley or the foreign land? It says here that he stayed living in tents, as did Isaac, Jacob, the co-heirs of the same promise. In other words, it was Abraham's grandson, Jacob, that was still waiting in faith for the promise. There will be moments when we have stepped out in faith that we doubt, that the valley is there, that the dark night of the soul comes, and our job is to hold the course. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, trusting him, saying, Lord, you call me, I need your help. Seek his help, he will help you. The number of times in my life, and I know this is true for many of you, where I've woken up in the middle of the night, just a few weeks ago, even this week, and I've said, Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm seeking to be faithful. I'm seeking to be obedient. I need your help. I remember once when Laura and I sold our house in Dundas to buy a house in a student neighborhood and be closer to our church family. We were really struggling to find a new house, but we had sold our house and we were getting outbid and outbid and outbid. And I was like, Lord, like, what have I done? I've sold this house, but I'm just trying to be obedient to you. Like, there's no selfish ambition here. I have nothing to gain. And I'm like, Lord, are you seriously going to leave my family homeless? I asked him that. I was like, Lord, like, lying awake in the middle of the night, like, Lord, like, what is going on here? The Lord provides. He provided. We just held the course, didn't freak out, and the Lord opened a way. This is the story of our church. We've just been faithfully walking out, planting churches, making disciples in university campus, and we'll keep doing it. We will remain faithful in good times and bad, difficult times and joyous times, because our God is faithful. Finally, so obedience, before I wrap to the final point here, obedience starts with listening openly. Then we take a leap. We take our first step, just enough faith to take that first step. We don't have the full plan. Then we need to be obedient to remain faithful in the valley. And finally, we need obedience to keep the main thing the main thing. It says here that for he, Abraham, was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. In other words, Abraham's rooting, the thing that he was anchored into was the main thing, which was this vision of a city that has foundations and whose architect and builder is God. The thing that was propelling Abraham forward was not visions of grandeur for himself, no, or even a great nation for himself. No, it was visions of grandeur where God got the glory. So often Christians think of and interpret the question of calling through the question of, how will this build my life? How will this help me be a better person? That's not the purpose of calling. The purpose of calling is to worship God, that God would get the glory that is rightfully his. Abraham was fixed on keeping the main thing, glory to God. Our first calling is to love God, not ourselves, but God. To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And that sounds basic enough, but that means that the motivation, the orientation, the objective, the thing we are focused on as we discern calling is not, how will this affect my life? The question is, how will this worship God? The obedience in faith is about glory to the builder. Jesus. The Lord is calling us to love him, to lay our lives down to serve him as he builds his kingdom. And so often our ability to be obedient to God is muddled because we've mixed in too much selfish ambition. That's not to say we shouldn't have bold dreams or bold ambition, but the objective has to be genuinely to glorify God, to remain fixed on loving him and loving others. There's a beautiful verse in Revelation 21, verse 2. It says, I saw a holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. The end of Scripture is with God building a city filled with people who worship him. I don't know for sure if it's the same city, but I wonder if this metaphor of city, or this reality of city that we look forward to in Revelation 21, a city filled with people that love God, of all nations and all tribes and all tongues. If we are going to be an obedient people, we must be a people that are looking to eternity, living our lives, willing to lay down the things that we cling to, even homes, jobs, relationships, all of those things. We put them down and we say, God, I want to live to honor and glorify you. So I will give up the things of this world that are so enticing, because my vision, my obedience is directed towards you being glorified, to the eternal city that you are building. I want to close with one final thought, and it links back to what I was saying a few moments ago about baptism. Baptism is that moment where as we become followers of Jesus, we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, and we proclaim that, and then we're immersed in water as a representation of death and new life in Jesus. Now, baptism is an important component here, because baptism is a step of obedience. Where we have just enough faith to say, Jesus, I'm going to trust you with my life. I don't know what's in front. I don't know what's going to come. But I see and recognize your character, and I'm willing to trust it. And I want to encourage some of you that have been journeying with our church. Maybe you would say I'm a Jesus follower, but you haven't been baptized. The scriptures command us to be baptized. And I want to encourage you not to wait until you have all the answers, but to have just enough faith to say, Jesus, I'm willing to take this next step. I'm willing to actually say, I'm going to publicly confess that I serve Jesus. And that's for every follower of Jesus. We need to do that. Similarly, I want to encourage those of you that are followers of, that are not yet followers of Jesus, that are waiting to try to figure it all out. We'll never figure it all out. Faith is not an invitation to having all the answers up front and then we make a purely measured decision. Faith is a decision to just take the next step, to confess Jesus as Lord. And say, you know, I don't know what you're going to hold for the rest of my life. I don't know what the rest is, but I choose to trust your character, to trust that you love me. And with that, to trust you with my life. I want to encourage you to take that next step, to start to pray, Lord, I surrender, I open my life to you and the call that you have on me. Let's close in prayer. Jesus, we thank you that you call each and every person into relationship, and that the first act of obedience that you invite us to is simply to receive you, to receive relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that those in our church who have not yet received that relationship, that you would give them the faith today to receive you. Lord, for those that have received you but have been struggling to take that step of obedience to be baptized, I pray that you would give them faith to be baptized. Lord, I pray for those that are having a clear sense of call, but have been struggling to walk it through out of fear of the unknown. Lord, I pray that you would build their faith to trust you, that they would have enough faith to take the next step. And Lord, lastly, I pray for those that are struggling to hear you, that you would soften their hearts, that your voice would begin to penetrate clearly to them. Thank you, Jesus, for this time in your word. I pray it's an encouragement to our church family. Amen. Love you guys. Be blessed. Have a great week.